You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, this is Chris, co-founder of Nuff Said. And in our latest Voice of Customer series interview, we spoke with Kevin at Slack about several interesting topics, including how he measures the success of a VOC program. And what we learned is one, VOC programs are best when they aren't real-time escalation programs, but instead they focus on trends over time. Two, it's important to evaluate how teams are using VOC data. In other words, are product managers using VOC data to make roadmap justifications? Is VOC data included in beta releases? And are PMs reaching out to ask questions during the research process? And then finally, maybe most importantly, how is VOC data reported out proactively to the field? So customer success, support, sales, et cetera. That's the TLDR. Let's jump in.
My name is Kevin Gilbaum, and I lead our Voice of the Customer program, specifically focused on our largest enterprise customers at Slack. I work within the customer success organization and work really closely with a small team of very passionate solutions engineers, customer success managers, technical architects, and other specialists that are really motivated to help kind of map the product direction for Slack and make sure that the customer's voice is heard. Before Slack, I was at Lyft and led a voice of the customer team there. And prior to jumping into tech, I was in energy working at Sunrun and NRG Energy.
Amazing. We're really excited to have you here, Kevin, because, well, you've worked on teams that just focus on VOC, which is kind of a unique part of this continuing series on voice of customer, but also you have experience at large companies. So you've seen VOC at scale. And so I think with that, we want to start with just putting a definition on the table about what VOC actually means. And obviously we're not talking about just NPS or product usage data. We're talking about going beyond that. So what does it mean for you?
Yeah. You know, I think voice of the customer is a very broad term and it can mean a lot of different things at different companies. I think for me personally, it's really that kind of team or organization that's really curious about why the product is the way it is for customers or why the overall experience is the way it is for customers. Being able to dig around and look at the interconnectedness of what's going on in the organization that's trickling down to the customer. So that could be the product itself. It could be the processes in which the customer is served, and that contributes to the experience. And it could be even just other things such as how the organization is even structured and how decisions are getting made and how that's impacting the customer. So I think a lot of times it's talked about in terms of product, and I think that's a huge component of it. But I think there needs to be like recognition that there's other factors that could contribute to a good customer experience or a poor customer experience. I was an environmental studies major at UC Santa Barbara. And so one of the things I really liked about environmental studies was kind of learning about the interconnectedness of all different systems, whether it's the water cycle or the carbon cycle, food chains, everything kind of affects everything else. And so I think that's why I gravitated into voice of the customer, because again, it's about that interconnectedness and it goes beyond just whether there's a feature that a customer wants. It's kind of the whole aggregate experience that ultimately is going to impact whether or not your company's delivering value.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love the comparison to environmental science and interdependence of systems. Let's go a little bit deeper into VOC. So VOC, you know, obviously for the purposes of this podcast, we're saying that NPS isn't enough. That's mm-hmm. It's a single channel, but it's not enough to get the real voice of the customer. So can you talk about what channels you have used in the past or the ones that you think are most effective for bringing that voice into the company?
Yeah. So, you know, and I think the way I'd think about it is kind of breaking down, and this probably depends on what, you know, the VOC admin organization is responsible for at Slack. I'm focused on kind of bringing feedback in for features that are maybe in pilots or betas, or we're just testing out concepts. So that would be kind of like your pre-release channels, as well as like the post-release. That's probably what most people focus on, is like what's out there in the existing product and getting feedback on that. I think for the latter, I agree, like NPS, CSAT, those are good data points and everyone goes to them because I think they're benchmarkable and everyone likes things you can benchmark and compare and measure. But I think some of the channels that I use are, you know, having those conversations with the customer. So in a B2B org, you know, you're really blessed where you have the CSM org and you have people that are embedded with your customers that know the business in and out. And so I think that's really the richest piece of product feedback that you can get. And so making sure you have a mechanism to capture that. You have support interactions, and that's for a B2C business as well. So Lyft, we didn't have, you know, that B2B side, the richness with CSMs, but we had support interactions. And, you know, you have that with larger enterprise B2B software as well. So looking at like, where are people writing in? What are the trends? And kind of like starting there to figure out what areas to dive deeper into, double click. And then I think there's other things that you can look at as well. And I don't think people necessarily look at this as much as they probably should, but support pathways and help articles. Is there a help article that it seems like all your users go to at some point? I mean, like, why is that? Why are people so confused about using a certain feature or being able to do something? And so I think that can provide a lot of insight just beyond support tickets of, you know, maybe they didn't write in, but there seems to be a lot of confusion about something. And so can you make that even better so it's a less friction, it's more frictionless experience? I think Reddit account programs, customer churn, being able to like look at that. It's always fun going on Reddit and social media. I'll kind of use that as like a backup source once I've kind of got some good hard data, just to get quotes and kind of bring that voice of the customer in, being able to look at Twitter and Reddit and those feeds. And then also partnering with the research organization. You know, they might have really good insights, really in-depth interviews around topics that connect kind of what you're seeing in support or what your CSMs are hearing.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. And one thing that you said at the beginning is interesting. I haven't heard anyone mention this in the podcast series so far, which is using the VOC program to bring in feedback for features that you're thinking about building. So features that are either they're considering building or that are currently in beta. So can you talk a little bit more about that? How does one bring in the voice of the customer for that category of communication?
Yeah, I think one, you have to really build a good relationship with the product and make sure that they're aware that you are there to help support them during this pre-release process. I think that's important. Otherwise, you know, product managers might have their own way of doing it, and you're not ever going to be able to see that feedback. And if you don't see it and you can't kind of provide your own commentary, it's going to launch and then it's going to turn into hopefully good customer feedback, but potentially a bad experience. And so this is really your chance to prevent bad customer experiences and create more delightful ones with all of the knowledge that you probably have being like a VOC organization of what things have worked in the past, what things haven't worked in the past across kind of all surfaces of the product. So there's a couple ways that we do that. So when something's ready for, you know, we have a prototype or we're ready for a pilot, we'll sometimes help product managers and connect them with CSMs, with customers that might want to sit down for 30 minutes and just have an interview and talk about the mockup or talk about their experience using the beta. So that's one way. And then I think another way, if you wanted to kind of scale that a little bit more, is setting up a Slack Connect channel, for example, and putting in a workflow builder that collects feedback. So we've done that with a couple different pilots and betas. And that's just a great way to get the PM in there, get customers in there, and have them engage with each other. So we did that for one feature that we launched called Scheduled Send, which allows you to schedule a Slack message for later. And we got a lot of users that gave a lot of great feedback. And we were actually able to get some of those tweaks in before we launched to general availability. So like one example is when you do try to send a message, you often see like in small italics, like if you're sending it for 9 a.m., that might be that user is, you know, 8 a.m. or if they're on the East Coast, you kind of get that little kind of hint that, you know, do you want to send this at a time that might be more convenient for the recipient? So that's like one good example. I think one thing I note is if you do this, you know, you're opening up another engagement channel with your customers. So I think it's good to make sure that there's ground rules that the PM is really engaged and wants to kind of not just engage on the feedback that customers are giving, but kind of do a nice introduction message, welcome everyone to the channel. And then kind of at the end, do a wrap up as well and say, thank you for the feedback. You know, if possible, if they can say maybe what feedback your customers might see at GA that they helped contribute to, or kind of talk about potential fast follows that might come out of the feedback, just to kind of close the loop and make customers feel like, okay, this channel was worth my time. And I'd do this again.
That's great. I want to plus one the idea of using a Slack Connect channel for interactions with customers. We've used that at NuffSed, and it was a very effective way to get customers connected into the team and hearing their actual voice. You said something before, which it wasn't clear what you meant by it. So you said that you know, in the CSM org, oftentimes that's the richest feedback. Mm-hmm. But how do you actually collect that feedback? I don't imagine that you're sitting in on every call.
Right. So collecting the feedback from these kind of CSM interactions and daily customer conversations is something you really have to build out to scale. And it has to be easy enough for the field to actually log the feedback. And they also have to feel like, again, logging that feedback was worth their time. And so I kind of look at it as almost like a flywheel in a way. So I think one on kind of the ease of logging that feedback and making sure that it's easy, we've set up a way to basically be able to log that feedback in Slack. So the CSM, the SE doesn't really have to context switch. They can go in basically using application and go ahead and log that. It then gets shot into our CRM, which is Salesforce. And that's kind of where the VOC team comes in. We kind of analyze, distill the data. And then for the end of the flywheel, making sure we close the loop with not just the customer, but also that CSM that logged that feedback or that solutions engineer. So we have a way to actually do an update that spits it back into Slack, which is, you know, where they're living. And that enables them to say, oh, okay, like this is something that's coming maybe in the next quarter, or in some cases, you know, this is something that product isn't planning on building. And that might not be the best news, but at least like we're able to close the loop and kind of close the case on that and let the customer know that that's just not something to expect.
Nice. So there's a mechanism to capture customer feedback in the moment without having to context switch. And then you have some kind of automation in place to report back out when decisions are made on the feedback that was sent in.
Exactly. And then, you know, we have a call recording system with our customers, and that gets great quotes and kind of really brings the voice of the customer in. So between gathering all of that data and having it being in a central repository like a CRM, you get all of that kind of customer context of, okay, how many accounts have requested this? What's, you know, the annual recurring revenue? Are there deals that are being held up by this on the pre-sale side? So you have all that, but then also coupling it with call recordings and asking the CSM to really put good use case examples in there as well of how it's impacting the customer. Those have been really powerful because you have the quantitative and you have that qualitative voice. So when you're meeting with your product stakeholders, you can kind of cover both bases.
Yeah, amazing. Love it. You mentioned a couple of interesting use cases, which I think is kind of a nice segue to our next question, which is, you know, how do you know the VOC program is working? And the two examples that I've heard you give so far are, one, maybe you can identify deals that are being held up as a result of what you're learning in the VOC program. The other example I heard was around getting feedback for beta release programs so that the company is releasing higher quality products. But what else? Are there other use cases or other metrics that you're using to determine whether or not VOC actually works?
Yeah, and it's tricky because a lot of the investments from VOC they're not quick. You know, it's not a escalation process. It's kind of a long game. And it's using all of that data over time to look at what are trends, what are customers asking for. So on the surface, there's certain signals that you can kind of tell that the program's working. You know, when you're looking at product planning outcomes, are the figures that they're citing for what they're going to build in the next quarter, are they actually coming from your VOC program? Do you recognize call outs about red accounts or churn or pre-sale ACV, all these figures that maybe came from your program? And if you're seeing those in product planning, that's probably a good sign that you're making an impact there. Are PMs actively reaching out to you to dig deeper into some of these areas, especially ahead of planning? I think that's a really good sign. But I think on the more, you know, quantitative side, I think what you said is what we measure is kind of, were we able to prevent any customer churn, kind of turn red accounts back to their normal status? How much influence have we had on pre-release features? Also, kind of talking about that flywheel of kind of making sure that the field feels like it's worthwhile to log the product feedback, measuring, you know, every quarter, are we kind of maintaining or growing the amount of product feedback we're getting from the field? Or is it kind of starting to dip? And then also, how much are we delivering back on? Have we updated? How many gaps have we updated that have come in to let the field and let customers know what the status is? When you think about how to prioritize product feedback, you know, you can think about volume. You can think about maybe like the deal value or the customer value associated with each piece of feedback. And another measure that we use is the amount of red accounts that are connected to that. Either, you know, that's the one thing that the customer is upset about, or it might be one of many factors. We still count that. So that's the way we kind of prioritize kind of when we go to products. You can't list, you know, every piece of product feedback. So like, what are we going to kind of hit on? What are the things we're going to shine a spotlight on? And those are going to be the things related to customer churn and Red accounts. And then I also work very closely with our Red account team, which does have that responsibility of talking with executives and making sure that people are aware of, you know, what is driving churn. So I would say my main focus for stakeholders is more the product side and making sure that they have kind of a light on what's going on there. And our Red accounts team is main stakeholder there is CS.
Yeah, actually, that's very interesting. Let's just double click on this for a second. A lot of companies who are thinking about building VOC programs don't have the ability to envision how it scales up over time. So can you talk a little bit about what does a VOC program look like, the ideal one? You don't have to talk about any particular company that you've worked for, but what does the ideal team look like that runs VOC? How would you build it from scratch?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think if I was to build it from scratch, I kind of see there's like two personas that are really important. I think one is someone that can find all of those different data inputs and all of those different data sources and be comfortable manipulating it, whether that might be in SQL or using reporting from a CRM. And so someone really comfortable with the data. And then the other persona is someone that's a good storyteller and someone that kind of can see those interconnected lanes within the company and understand, you know, from the customer's perspective in this data, what is a story I can tell and how can I kind of bring it just from like a number of accounts and account value and bring it down to kind of how this is actually impacting the customers day to day. I think that's very important, is that storyteller persona. And I think that person also has to, you know, you have to have empathy for customers, but that storyteller persona has to have empathy for the stakeholders they're working with. So when they're getting ready for that, you know, quarterly or bi-quarterly meeting with product, like thinking about, okay, what, you know, product has goals. Product is looking to do certain things and kind of move the roadmap in a certain direction. What do I have here from kind of feedback from customers that connects to product's goals and what they're looking to do? You know, sometimes it's difficult and it doesn't connect. And then sometimes, you know, it does actually connect. And something that's a top customer pain point can actually unlock a lot of value and movement for your stakeholders internally. And so that can really give you a lot of momentum if you're able to identify those links and kind of weave that narrative of how solving a top customer pain point could also kind of move forward a major objective for the product team.
Okay, so I like that. So thinking about personas in terms of a data person, an analyst, versus someone who's kind of a storyteller, almost like difference between maybe like an engineer or product person, but within the VOC team. But let's also talk about team structure, because I heard you say that, you know, in an ideal world, you know, there's someone who's focused on bringing in feedback for a beta program. There's someone who's focused on, you know, live implemented customers, or there's a group invested there. What other team structure elements should someone be thinking about as they're scaling up their VOC program?
So I actually think it's more useful to think of it not in terms of, you know, this person's on pilots and betas, this person's doing post-release feedback. I think it's, you know, a product can be complex and how customers use it can be really complex depending on the company we're talking about. And so I think it's actually, if you ideally can structure the team so that there's alignment to specific product pillars or product areas or certain customer types, that is probably the most beneficial way to do it. So you have someone that maybe is focused on, for example, at Lyft, you have someone that's maybe focused on like the rider payment experience. And so they handle pre-release feedback and post-release feedback with kind of that with payments in mind, because that's kind of a specialized area. And they're able to build those connections with that product team. And that's, I think that's really important, versus if you had someone that was doing all pilots, all betas, that's a lot of room to cover. It's a lot of relationships to build across the product org. So I don't think that that would really scale as easily compared to if you could kind of verticalize it a little bit more. I think the other thing too is just being careful about resourcing. So I think it's really easy to fall into the trap of we're going to get feedback for everyone and in every area of the product. And I think you have to kind of look at like one, you know, what is your resourcing and how engaged are certain components of the business with you? So if you have a product team that's really engaged and wants to meet, it might be worthwhile kind of staffing someone that can align to that product team, versus if you have a team that maybe isn't as engaged with you, you haven't really built the relationship up yet, it might not be worth staffing someone that quarter to work with that team. Maybe you need to work on building the relationship there, and maybe the VOC lead can kind of demonstrate through what they've done with other product pillars the value of working together. So I think like that's important, and like you're always going to have limited resourcing. You can't bring all of the feedback, and so you need to be strategic about who within the org you can work with. And sometimes that's not driven by products kind of engagement with you. It might be a top customer pain point. So it might warrant breaking in to a product area or a pillar that you don't have as much of a relationship with. But I think just being like mindful about that is important.
There's a typical product management objection to the VOC program, which goes something like this. Hey, Kevin, I'm already getting great product usage feedback, NPS scores. I'm getting support tickets from the support team. I'm getting feedback from the sales team that are really loud about customers that need attention. Customer success is good about letting us know that customers that we're going to lose if we don't build certain features. So what value can you add on top of all of this feedback I'm already getting? What's the answer to that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, you don't want VOC to come in and try to take control of the reins and kind of the flow of customer feedback. Like, it's great that product managers are jumping on calls with customers. It's great that they're interacting and hearing support tickets and data. I think I'd want to know, like, what's the structure that they're receiving all that information in? I think in a lot of companies, it's, you know, a Slack channel that has a feed of all of the support tickets coming through, and kind of these really noisy channels, which, you know, not to knock them, but I think it's great that they exist and it provides transparency. But I think the thing that a lot of people need is kind of not just seeing the flashes in the pan, like from jumping from this call and seeing this in a feed and this happening, is like, okay, if you take a step back though, what is the most important thing? And over time, over the last, you know, 3 or 4 quarters, what are the top customer pain points? What things are trending and becoming more important? And I don't think you can really get that without a voice of the customer program that's able to kind of gather this data from all these diverse inputs, distill it down, add the business context to it as well, and then advocate on behalf of the customer. And so I think that's kind of the value, is that step back, that higher level view of what's going on.
Amazing. I think we're going to jump to the most controversial question for this podcast series, which is, who should own the VOC program? I'm just curious, at Slack, who does it report up? If it's not the CEO, who does it report up to? And what's the ideal in your perspective, in your mind?
So at Slack, I'm focused on enterprise voice of the customer. And so I report up through customer success. But we also, you know, Slack also has a lot of non-enterprise users as well. And so we have a team that's focused on kind of just general feedback from all users. And so I work very closely with them to see kind of where we have alignment and where we can kind of speak to product with one voice. So I think it's hard because VOC is the inputs that are coming in with the customer feedback. And those inputs are often owned by a whole bunch of different teams. So like really what VOC is doing, I think, is it's taking those inputs and distilling them and then adding that business context. And so I think where that can sit, I think it could sit in customer success. I think it could sit, it often sits in support. I think at Slack, we kind of see it in both areas there. At Lyft, it lived in support. And I think I've also seen certain companies put it into product operations, and the product operations team kind of takes on that voice of the customer role. I think that could work. I think ideally I'm convinced yet on like where the ideal place is. I think, you know, your main stakeholders is going to be support and customer success and product. So I think if it lives in one of those departments, I think that makes the most sense.
What would you say are downsides of having it live in product or downsides of having it live in success?
So the upside to product is you're hyper connected to the objectives and the goals, right? So again, I think a good VOC program, you know, it's advocating with the customers in mind, but it's savvy on what's product looking what's their vision and kind of what are their goals, and can you make those connections? And so I think if it lives in product, you're going to be closer to those. And I think that's an advantage. I think the downside is you might get too wrapped up in product's goals, and maybe it could be detrimental there. I think the good thing about being in customer success or support is like you're living and breathing the customer experience. And so like that is always top of mind. But I think it takes a little bit more digging to understand kind of those product objectives and those product goals and to create those relationships. I think you're going to have to create relationships in either place, right? If you're in product, you might be more divorced from some of the inputs versus if you're in customer success and support, you might be surrounded by inputs, but you need to figure out the relationships to kind of provide that advocacy and those outputs too. So I think maybe that's it. Maybe if you're based in product, you're more on the output side and you're surrounded by all these people, but you might not have the data and the inputs. And if you're in CS and customer support, you have all these inputs, but you need to establish those relationships to actually advocate and get the word out.
Yeah, nice. I like that. Also, I think you're right. If it, most people that we talk to advocate having it live in customer success. However, like you said, the downside of that is there's kind of two downsides I heard you say. One is make sure that the team is trained on how to detect the underlying use case or problems to be solved, because product managers are really good at that and CSMs generally are not. So that's number one. And two, over-investing and building the relationship with product so that they're willing to receive that feedback as part of their product development process.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump to the last question here, which is looking ahead, you know, 5 years from now, how does the VOC program change or evolve?
Yeah, I think hopefully there'll be, you know, I've talked to a lot of people in voice of the customer, and I feel like there's not like a silver bullet solution for a system to kind of capture and help distill insights. It's, you know, there's still, even though a lot of it's automated and you can kind of bring it to where, you know, the field is or where agents are to help kind of log the feedback and reduce friction, I think there's been a lot of improvement, but it's still, there's still a lot of manual kind of sleuthing through data and creation of insights. So I'd hope some reduction there and some automation, maybe AI to help with that. And also just kind of maybe like more low code features to be able to kind of rearrange your systems to take new pieces of feedback. I think, especially with Slack, you know, it's such a constantly evolving product. You know, we're kind of constantly changing kind of, okay, we need to capture feedback in this area or for this new component. And so I think like that's important, being able to have the agility to adapt, especially in a fast moving industry. And then I think too, I think it's increasing, VOC is going to be increasingly seen as an asset for the product org, as like an input to the roadmap and to kind of where the product should go. We might see more VOC programs going into product operations and going into more of the product side of the house. And so again, that kind of, there's advantages to that, like we talked about, but I think there's also disadvantages as well when you move out of that CS customer support org, where you have all those inputs available when you're kind of living and breathing the customer experience.
Yeah, so no like metaverse room that has all the VOC lined up on the walls, none of that stuff.
I hope not. I don't know. I like in-person interactions. So I hope we don't all go from Zoom to the metaverse.
Nice. Well, you know, Kevin, obviously you've become a master of your craft developing these VOC programs at a couple of large companies. So just one, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us, but two, you're investing your personal time to help us all as a community level up. And I just want to thank you for your willingness to do that and help us all get better as we think about our VOC programs.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. To learn more about Nuff Said's proactive intelligence platform, you can visit nuffsaid.com. That's nuffsaid.com. And you can follow Nuff Said on LinkedIn. To tune in to more real customer success strategies, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. Thanks for tuning in. Nuff Said.